This is WDET, Detroit Public Radio. The program is Detroit Today. I'm Craig Folley. Very glad you could be with us today. And our guest in studio today is Jean Alicia Elster. She's the author of Who's Jim Hines? A wonderful new book, sort of a coming-of-age story about life in Detroit in the 1930s. Ms. Elster, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, right off the bat, you find out quickly, if you just do a little bit of research about this book, this is, again, a somewhat fictionalized account about real events involving your own grandfather here in the city of Detroit.
That's right. He was the owner of the Douglas Fort Wood Company, and it started before the Depression, but even during the business thrived.
And again, I think one of the interesting things about this story, and one of the themes that you'll notice throughout, and we'll get into it a little bit, but the fact, there's a little bit of irony here in that the family's surname is Ford.
Yes.
Yet this is at a time when getting a job at Ford would have been difficult, mm-hmm. at best, for an African-American in this town. And that sort of plays a central role in the story.
It really does. I have to say, though, that the family's original name was Fort. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was from New Orleans, but when he came to Detroit, he thought he would do better with the last name Ford, so they changed it to Ford. He when he started his business, he had a trucking mm-hmm. business, and he owned a fleet of trucks. He could not join the Teamsters. They were not allowing black members at that time. But he still thrived without them. But that is mentioned in the book, a little different side of the union history. But he was paying his workers more than they could earn at the Ford factory. And several of his neighbors, both black and white, worked for him and were able to support their families very well during the Depression.
Well, again, the central character in this is Doug Ford Jr., who I'm assuming would be your father.
He's my uncle.
Your uncle, excuse mm-hmm. me. I apologize mm-hmm. for that. But and just sort of, you know, his coming-of-age story in a lot of ways, where he gets, you know, he's getting to that point in time in his life, and especially back at that point in time, you're 12-year-old, you better start contributing because the family needs you. They need mm-hmm. you to go out there and do your part in the work world. And that's a difficult transition for, you know, 12-year-old to make from being sort of a carefree kid to all of a sudden being an essential cog, really, in the family, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's addressed in the book. Doug, has helped his dad in the wood yard, which was adjoining the home. But in one incident where he loses his school books, and education was very important to the Ford family, but my grandparents felt that instead of just buying the books for him, he should work mm-hmm. for that money. And so my grandfather started having him go out on the truck and make deliveries of wood to the different customers in Detroit and the suburbs. And that is when he gets to really start on his journey and trying to discover who is Jim Hines.
And we'll get to that because that's sort of the mystery of the book. And I don't want to give too much away. I'm not going to make you say where the title necessarily comes from, but this is a person that he hears a lot of stories about. He's constantly struggling to figure out what this is all about. And I also, again, I don't want to give away too much of the book, so we won't spend a whole lot of time on plot, but I do want to talk about the genre itself. This book is obviously written for kids, younger people, mm-hmm. and it gives them a nice sort of historical glimpse into what Detroit was like and the, you know, incredibly segregated past we've had here and what this family did to overcome a lot of those barriers. Why did you feel that your own family story was one that you thought kids should relate to today?
Well, I wanted young people and young readers to be able to get a different side of Detroit. I think too often we hear one type of story. And this story was unique enough, and I thought uplifting enough, that it would be important to share, especially with this age group. They're sponges at this point. And I wanted them to take in a little more than they may be getting from some of the other, either reading or video games or whatever they're doing. I wanted them to have something else to plug in.
And again, it takes place in the 1930s, which isn't an era that a lot of kids today can really relate to in a lot of ways. Did you think it was important to show just how difficult life could be back then?
Definitely. I also thought it was important for their parents that may be reading to them or reading with them to have an example of how a family could overcome certain of the restrictions that were placed upon them mm-hmm. by society to thrive and to help their neighbors. This is an integrated neighborhood where there weren't that many in Detroit Eastern European immigrants, as well as Southern blacks from blacks from the South. And my grandfather hired both immigrants and African Americans in his business, and so I wanted that picture of Detroit, that kind of thing was going on, that kids may not be hearing those kind of stories either.
Well, and exactly where was the house, if you don't mind saying?
1950 Halleck Street, just outside of Hamtramck.
Yeah, and I, you know, a lot of stories about that neighborhood have been coming to light in recent years because it was such an eclectic neighborhood at the time, and such an odd and interesting mix of people.
Exactly, and I addressed this in the book, but even my own history when I grew up and visiting my grandparents, I thought a headscarf was called a babushka, you know?
Yeah.
It was just such a part of the lingo of that area at the time. So,
well, this, again, is a personal story for you. And, again, you fictionalized it, but it's based on true events. Was it difficult at all to sort of, you know, probe into the family history to write this sort of story, or was it just a natural thing?
Well, coming up as a child, of course, the wood business didn't exist. They were my grandparents that planted fruit trees, but we would sit under those trees, and I would hear stories about the Douglas Ford Wood Company, about how prosperous it was during the Depression era, you know, how my grandmother was a partner. She was a bookkeeper during the business. So all those stories, they were basically drilled into me, and then as an adult, as a writer, during family reunions and other gatherings, I would just kind of probe my mother, my aunts, my uncle, just for more details, and of course, they were more than willing to oblige.
You know, again, but you write specifically for children and young adults. What do you like about writing for that age group as opposed to, say, writing a novel for adults?
Oh, that's a good question. I like the challenge. To my way of thinking, it's much easier to write for an adult because I am in that age group now. When you're writing for children, you not only have to write for children that are coming up now, but I think, especially in a historical novel like this, I have to reach back and think of how were children during those days thinking. And to my parents and my other relatives, came in handy because it helped me transport myself into those days.
My guest is Jean Alicia Elster. She's the author of a new book, Who's Jim Hines? She's written several books throughout her career, though, including I'll Fly My Own Plane, I Have a Dream Too, and Just Call Me JoJo, among just a few of the titles that she has written over the years. This, of course, takes place in Detroit, and it's based on her own family's personal history in a lot of ways. Getting back to writing for children, Ms. Elster, I'm always wondering whether or not it's easier or more difficult to convey the different emotions somebody might be feeling when you're trying to explain it to kids or adults.
I think children, especially today, are exposed to a lot of emotions that perhaps even I didn't have to go through growing up as a child. You know, with the internet, with the kinds of movies that children are allowed to see now, I think they're exposed to a lot of these things. So in that respect, it's easier to touch that kind of emotional core with them because they felt it. And even some of the emotions that my uncle Doug Jr. in the book is going through, you know, wondering, well, about the nature of things, the social nature of things, the racial nature of things. I think in that respect, children today are more open to that. I think they, if not having felt it, they've heard about it.
Well, I think one of the neat passages in the book is when Doug Jr. is sort of overhearing a conversation that some older men are talking about the unions and the difference between the Teamsters and the UAW, which was just up and coming at the point in time,
right.
And just sort of listening to the way that the older people are talking, and I remember that doing that myself when I was a kid, overhearing what my dad might have been talking about with some of his friends and wondering if I really understood, you know, what they were talking about. So I think you did a very good job of sort of capturing that period of time in a young boy's life. And I have to ask, I mean, as a woman, did you find it sort of difficult to think about that?
No, not really, because I heard these stories about the union talk from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her siblings would sometimes hear, you know, the men would be outside smoking their cigars and pipes, the women would be inside, but the kids would be listening. And they remember hearing about this young man, Walter Reuther, who was going to change things because the Teamsters had blocked out blacks from the union. And even though I acknowledge the importance of unions and the wonderful things they've done, growing up, I was given the other side of the story, and that unions weren't perfect, and we were constantly reminded that the Teamsters wouldn't let my grandfather join, even though he had a fleet of trucks for his drivers. So it was not hard for me to go into that mindset because I was told the story as a child from my mother's memories of hearing it when she was a child.
You know, but again, it took me back in a lot of ways. So obviously you're doing a very good job sort of setting the scene in that regard.
Thanks
but
so much.
Jean Alicia Elster has been my guest, author of the new book, Who's Jim Hines, available through Wayne State University Press. And again, I'm assuming this is available all over the place, right?
It is, yeah.
Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff?
Right, as well as Wayne State Press and the local independent bookstores.
Well, very good. We appreciate you being here with us. And again, it's a very nice glimpse into our past here in Detroit. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.